We are joined now by Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. He's a CIA-trained former senior intelligence officer and the New York Times bestselling author of Operation Dark Heart, Spycraft, and Special Operations on the Front Lines of Afghanistan and the Path to Victory. Colonel Schaefer joins us now. Colonel, thank you for joining us.
Hey, good morning. Good to be on. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. There's a lot going on, so I'll dive right into it. In North Korea specifically, H.R. McMaster, the National Security Advisor, saying that an aircraft carrier deployment headed towards the Korean Peninsula by the United States is prudent. And this comes after North Korea condemned the missile attack in Syria as just being totally unlawful in their view. What's to make of all of this?
Well, the North Koreans are sitting up taking notice by the fact that they are a client state of China, and as we know, Syria is a client state of Russia at this point. So I think it was no small thing that the airstrike on Syria happened during the time that Mr. Trump was having dinner with President Xi of China. And so I think the North Koreans understand two things. First, this president is willing to take action where President Obama was not, and that reestablishes credibility of our own nuclear deterrent program, protecting our allies. That was an issue. And secondly, we may well see the breaking of the paradigm of the way we've dealt with North Korea, I say, for the past five administrations, where basically they walk up to a line, they threaten to cross it, we give them stuff, and they back down. And I think that's been the record of both Democrat and Republican administrations. I'd like to believe that President Trump's going to look at this differently, and I'd like to believe that that the North Koreans are now taking seriously the potential of something bad happening for their bad behavior.
Do you see any evidence that China now, because of all of this, given the dinner and just sort of the attack on Syria, do you think China now is going to put any pressure on North Korea to begin behaving?
I'd like to believe so. I mean, look, the Chinese are making a lot of money off us, as Mr. Trump has pointed out before. And one of the things that I think everybody would recognize is that any exchange of nuclear weapons in the Pacific would be very bad for business. So I think the Chinese understand that it's time for them to start doing something. And let's be clear on this. The North Korean country could not survive without China. China is their primary trade partner. They've clearly allowed them to develop technology, which is, in my judgment, inimical to good order and progress within the Pacific. So it's their responsibility. And I think Mr. Trump has probably made that point to him very clear. With that said, Kim Jong-un is uncontrollable, then there'll be consequences for both the North Koreans and Chinese. And again, I think the Chinese understand that.
I would like to talk a little bit about Syria. And
sure.
Over the weekend, a lot of claims of mixed messaging coming from the administration with our ambassador saying one thing, with Tillerson maybe saying something else. We're getting claims of that. And it all revolves around regime change. Are we getting too far down the road here with trying to guess what's going to happen next? Because we're not good at regime change.
Yeah, no, we're not. And Merritt's a good point. Look, I'm one of those. I actually side more with Tracy, Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard on this. It's not our job to determine the future of the Syrian people. It is our job to help maintain stability within our interests and state clearly what we are interested in. And I hate to sound this, but America first. We have to define what we're for and what we want to do. I am not for, and there's been rumors of 150,000 troops being deployed. That's totally insane. We cannot go down that path again where we actually decide for another nation who they should have in charge. With that said, the Russians are there. They should put pressure on Assad to, first off, stop killing his people. And secondly, I think it's up to the Russians to help move a new government into Syria. And Mary, let me be very clear for this. I am not pro-Russian. I'm not pro-Assad. I am against ungoverned space. If we destroy Syria like we did in Libya, where we leave the region with no functional government, we will see another failed state. We cannot afford that. So I think it's more about setting up our own set of objectives based on what we believe is right and moving towards that rather than trying to say one man needs to be removed. Again, we tried that with Libya. We removed Gaddafi, and we saw the bad results of that.
And Saddam Hussein in Iraq. At least Saddam Hussein, for as awful as he was, he protected the Christians in that country, and he had control of it. And now it's ISIS.
We cannot pretend that the neocons have a path forward where if you remove a strong man, democracy springs forth, and we cannot. That is not any culture has to have a certain level of cultural maturity to sustain that. And I'm sorry, those cultures are not ready for democracy.
I want to move because we're moving quickly. There's a lot of national security issues. Sure. One of them is, we talk about cultures. One that's had a lot of upheaval lately is Sweden, and we saw in Stockholm this truck attack, and now we find out that the suspect had received a deportation order, but wasn't deported, and ended up killing people in the truck.
Well, we have to recognize that Europe has been a magnet for this onslaught of Islamic radicals. And it's not about Islam. Islam itself is not the problem. The problem is you have a radical element which has nested itself within Islam. And when you have communities which look the other way for this sort of thing happening, you see things like Sweden, you see things like Belgium, France, and Germany. So this is where I think Mr. Trump is clearly trying to get ahead of this. He's trying to prevent having essentially what I would call critical mass radical Islamist communities, which allow this sort of thing to happen. And there's a couple things we need to do here to prevent this from happening. First, I think we do need to declare the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization. I'm sorry, the Center for Islamic American Relations, CARE, is a cover for the Muslim Brotherhood. They need to go. And we need to be very diligent in who we allow to come here. This individual, as you point out, in Sweden was supposed to be deported, probably because he had a lot of views which indicated he was a radical. We need to prevent them from even getting here before they become completely radicalized. We don't want to see truck attacks in Manhattan or here in Washington, D.C. So this is what I think is in our interest to do, is to be much more aggressive about preventing this sort of thing from coming here.
Well, I think if we just ban trucks, that'll solve the problem.
And knives,
Yeah, that works with everything. But you're right. And you don't realize how many times. Look at Manhattan. That's a great example. Washington, D.C., great examples, especially Washington and Manhattan. You have a lot of tourists. Those are prime spots for someone with a truck who wants to do damage. And it doesn't have to be a lot of people. It's to create fear. It's to terrorize. And that's what it's about.
Right.
I don't know how you prevent that.
I visit New York all the time, and I walk everywhere, and I just kind of look out of the corner of my eye how easy it would be for someone to just move the wheel just 2 degrees, and off on the sidewalk you go into dozens of people. So this is no small issue.
No.
Well, Lieutenant Colonel Schaefer, thank you. Obviously, there's no shortage of things to talk about, and you hit a lot of them really quickly. So thank you very much, sir.
Hey, thanks for being on.
Thanks for joining us. Great to have you.